Cummins. Ollie Robinson faces the music. Cummins bowls to him. He backs away and he's bowled. The captain finishes it. Pat Cummins pumps the fist. England routed in the final session under lights.
Yeah, Australia just too good for England, but I have to say this has been embarrassing. When you see an England side throwing in the towel, and that's what they've done in the last hour, they've just thrown the towel.
Well, if you turned in early last night, you'd be forgiven for thinking we're about to see a thriller today down in Hobart. As it is, England went on to lose 10 wickets, all 10 wickets, for 56 runs inside 23 overs after being none for 68. Bryce McGain is joining us for Chadstone Toyota. Stock is available for immediate delivery now at Chadstone Toyota. Bryce, thanks for your time. What more can be said about it all, especially from an England perspective, first of all?
Yeah, good morning, Sam, and Josh in there as well. What can be said is that they just put the white towel up, threw the white towel in, put the white flag up. They actually packed it in, and running off the wicket with the tail. You saw the comparison, and it's been well publicised through social media of Scott Boland, who the night before was in behind it, getting wrapped on the knuckles, doing the best he could as a night watchman to fight in a dead rubber for Australia. And then you see pretty much the tail of England just looking to play some shots and get away with whatever they can before they just get out. And they just contributed all to their own downfall. I think it's been a taxing tour for them. I really felt at the MCG that they were a broken squad then. That hour of cricket where Scott Boland just tore them apart and they just capitulated completely. They summoned up enough courage to get up off the canvas and fight in Sydney. But then when they've come to Hobart and they thought they were a big chance, and then all of a sudden the wheels just started rolling off. They were none for 68 off 15 overs chasing a reasonable target around 270, and they just capitulated completely. It was pretty disappointing.
Staying with the English for a moment, Bryce, what I'm sure you've been involved in teams that have had series or seasons where things have really gone poorly. And look, there's reasons, there's excuses. We understand that. But what will be the process now for them to debrief this whole series? Because this type of a performance can leave mental scars that stick with you. What sort of fallout and processes will there be for English cricket to get their head around just what's happened?
Well, I think one of the things that stands out for me, Josh, is the fact that they're just not coachable. And what I mean by that is that what they're saying publicly, their coaching staff, and there's been a disruption there. Obviously, there's been some COVID go through their staff, and they've had to mix and match a little bit. But even what their captain Joe Root is saying is, we're going to learn from this. We're going to get better, and there are going to be little wins that we're going to improve all the time. They're not doing any of that. They're doing the complete opposite. They're running rogue. They're doing what they want. They can compete for some periods of time, but then when it gets really hard and tough, they're just not actually in there. And I think it's probably just the assessment of that. It's just saying, well, here's a good moment. This is how we start the innings. And then all of a sudden, our own personal disappointment and disappointment of each other, we just give it up. And that's probably the hardest thing to turn around is those things. You talk about mental scarring, but the ability just to go insular and just worry about yourself and, oh, it doesn't matter if I get out. Everyone else has failed, so it just doesn't matter. Is something that seems that's right through the team. We've seen it a few times in actual fact, and even other times in the field, like that they've just lost their way completely. And as Australia's built big partnerships over this whole series at different times, they've fought well at other times, but that inconsistency, that lumpy performance, they really need to go back and just work individually. It's not about yelling at them. I know earlier in the tour, Josh, they were talking about just sometimes they need a kick up the backside. Well, I don't know about that. They actually just need to understand what peak performance is and how you do it. And they're miles off it at the moment.
Where do you stand on the Joe Root captaincy situation? Because to my eye, and you know about this far better than I do, they don't look like they've actually got a replacement. So where do you sit on the Root captaincy situation?
I have no issue with Joe Root as a captain. Might be a few tweaks around strategy and things like that, you know, the Australian commentators seem to pick it all apart about what they would do and maybe criticise him, saying, oh, you're not doing this. This is what we would do in these conditions. Well, that's okay. That'll evolve. I don't mind that. But I think he's the best leader. I think he talks well. I think he's honest. I think he's respectful of the opposition. I think he's got all the right attributes to be a good captain. He just needs a bit more support and growth on that side of his game as well. And, you know, there's little masterclasses you can do about different strategies and picturing them and showing the vision of what works and why they do that with certain players. And you can do those things. That's what the coaches need to be doing, is looking at those things. It's not all skill. Cricket isn't all skill. It's a lot mental, and tuning those things up and having those things in place. I have no issue with Joe Root leading this team. He just needs a bunch of guys that are prepared to work with him. And I probably thought that Sam Billings coming into the side on his debut was biting pretty hard in that first innings and looked the goods. Obviously, the Sydney Thunder wicketkeeper came in for the last test. So there's some signs there that, you know, he looks like a gritty competitor. He's been out here quite a bit, and we've seen a bit of Sam Billings, and he looks like he's the goods.
Great to have Bryce McGade on board on a Monday morning. So, Bryce, when you think about the Aussies, I mean, any time you win a series 4-0, there's some solid performances, excellent ones. But what story leaps off the page the most for you? Is it Scotty Boland just coming from nowhere, that rapid rise? Cameron Green is developing into something unbelievably special? Or is it Travis Head's resurrection? Or is it something else entirely that's caught your eye most of all?
It's hard to go past Scott Boland, isn't it? When a man of toil who's just worked hard at his craft, he debuted in first-class cricket over 10 years ago, and he's just been churning away, unfashionable, I suppose. Not what they necessarily want. He doesn't bowl over 140 kilometres an hour and bowl through, you know, and get the ball lifting up. No, what he does is challenge your forward defence, and he picks apart techniques. I would hate to be a left-hander facing him. He picks them off at first-class cricket for fun, and he's doing that at the international level as well. So it's translated his game, and his work ethic has translated incredibly well to international cricket. And it probably goes to show the health of first-class cricket in Australia. We lost our way there for a little bit, let's be honest. You know, we probably disrespected Sheffield Shield cricket until about 3 or 4 years ago, where we were using replacement players. Players could come in and out. We'd give them a rest. We'd do all sorts of funky things. Now it's a fair dinkum contest, and we were playing a lot more younger players. Now we've allowed guys like Scott Boland to keep churning away. And that's the cool thing with Australian cricket, I think. At the very top level, you just pick the best players who are in form. And I think the selectors have done a wonderful job at doing that. So there's some real positives. But I think that the biggest moment for me is that Scott Boland and how he's just burst onto the scene in three tests and supported an already outstanding bowling attack.
Hey, Bryce, in a name, Fraser McGurk or Glenn Maxwell's catch last night?
I think Maxie's. I like Maxie's one. That had a bit of interference, so yeah. I like that one.
Very nicely done. Bryce, joining us, all thanks to Chadstone Toyota, where if you book a service with them by January 31 for a fixed price service on your vehicles. Hey, Bryce, thanks a lot for the wash up, mate. Really appreciate it and all your insights throughout the fascinating Ashes series. Have a good day.
You too, Sam and Josh. Have a ripper day. Bye for now.